It's a joy to be here tonight, and I do appreciate your pastor and his gracious kindness in allowing us to squeeze in here. And we have been in the States now for about 8 months. We've got two boys that we have gotten started in college this fall, and we will be leaving the 5th of January. To go back to the field and, of course, be leaving our sons here. And so we would certainly appreciate you praying for Caleb. He feels like God's called him to preach, and so he's doing pastoral studies at Pensacola Christian College. Our second son, Benjamin, feels like the Lord has called him into the field of criminal justice. And so we're either going to save them or bust them, one or the other. But we would appreciate you praying for our boys as they pursue what they believe to be God's will for their lives. And then, of course, pray for us as we'll be going back to continue the work that God has given to us there in the land of Singapore. I'd like to show you just a little bit, so if we could have the DVD at this time, show you a little bit about the country and the work that God has allowed us to see done there.
Hello, we are the Crockers, and we are missionaries representing the Lord Jesus Christ in the land of Singapore. After serving for 16 years in South Korea, in 1993 the Lord laid it on our hearts to change fields. So we left our work in the city of Daegu and made the move southward to the little city-state of Singapore. Singapore is truly a tropical island in every sense of the word. Since we are only 85 miles north of the equator, our weather basically never changes. Every day of the year, the temperature is going to be between 80 to 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and the humidity will be between 70 to 85%. Of course, this makes a perfect environment for growing lush tropical plants and some of the most beautiful flowers that you could possibly imagine. Singapore is the smallest nation in Southeast Asia, measuring only 29 miles from the east coast to the west coast and only 17 miles from north to south. In other words, the entire nation of Singapore is only about twice as large as our nation's capital city of Washington, D.C. However, on that island are more than 4.8 million people, making it one of the most densely populated nations in the world, with more than 85% living in high-rise apartment buildings. In the early days of Singapore's history, the island was under the rule of the Malaysian Sultan of Johor, and the island was primarily inhabited by fishing villages. But in 1819, the British came and established a settlement on the island. And in a very short time, Singapore became Britain's most important port for shipping in Southeast Asia. And this continued to be true until 1963, when the British finally granted both Singapore and Malaysia their independence. At that time, for security reasons, the little island of Singapore joined with the Malayan Federation. However, from the very beginning, it was an uneasy relationship. So on August the 9th, 1965, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew finally proclaimed that Singapore would be an independent republic within the British Commonwealth of Nations. With their independence, Singapore has continued to grow and prosper as one of the world's major shipping ports. In fact, in January of 2006, Singapore was officially ranked as the world's busiest port. During the early days, Sir Stamford Raffles declared Singapore to be a free port where anyone could come and do business. As a result of that open door policy, many people came from Malaysia, China, and India to seek their fortune. And as a result of that, those three ethnic groups still make up the majority of Singapore's citizens. The Chinese make up 74% of the population. They are primary followers of a mixture of Buddhism and Taoism. As Buddhist, they follow the tenets of Buddha, visiting elaborate temples, praying, offering sacrifices, seeking peace for their troubled souls. As Taoist, they pray to the spirits of their ancestors, offering them sacrifices of food and drink, hoping to appease the spirits and to win their favor and their blessings. The Malays make up 13% of the population. In the early 1500s, Arab traders had come to Malaysia, converting them to Islam. Therefore, over 99.6% of the Malays in Singapore today are Muslim. These people form a very tight society, which is constantly watching over one another. And therefore, because of fear, most Muslims are not receptive to listening to the gospel or accepting a gospel tract. The Indians make up 9% of the population, and the majority of them are followers of Hinduism. They will come to their temples and worship a multitude of pagan gods. They also have many festivals, such as Thaipusam, where they will walk on beds of coals and turn themselves into human pincushions in order to give thanks for some answered prayer or to earn some future favor from their gods. And of course, with the British influence, Christianity was introduced to the island. Today it is said that some 14% of the population are Christian. However, that includes the Roman Catholics, Mormons, and other groups with whom we would not agree on the most basic of biblical doctrines. The sad fact is, Singapore is a land that is filled with spiritual darkness. And because of that, we're thankful that God opened a door for us to come to Singapore so that we might share with these people the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we arrived in Singapore in 1994, we began working with the Heritage Baptist Church and immediately were able to help to establish the Heritage Baptist School of Theology. In those early days of the church, dealing with cramped facilities was a continual battle. What a happy day it was when we finally were able to pull down our sign and move our congregation to a new location in the central part of the island called Topayo. Our faithful people joined us in knocking on doors each week, inviting people to come and to visit our services. And God blessed their faithful efforts in a wonderful way. And therefore, it was not very long before we found ourselves once again being cramped for space. Then, just a couple of years ago, the Lord did an amazing thing. He allowed us to secure the rental of a new auditorium that will seat around 700 people. We're now working and praying and asking that God will soon allow us to see this place filled up as well, for His honor and for His glory. With this new facility, we also were able to have a room where Brother Edwin Lee is able to minister to our Chinese congregation in the Mandarin language. We were also blessed with ample space to house our Sunday school classes and our junior church ministries. What a joy it has been over the years to see people coming to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then following Him in believer's baptism, and then growing strong in their faith as they learn more and more of God's precious Word. And yet, with all that has been done, we must still say that there is so much that needs to be done in this little island nation. Truly, the harvest is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Would you please pray with us that God would give us wisdom to win Singaporeans for Christ, and that God would send forth more laborers into his harvest field.
In this world of darkness, we are given light, hope for all the dying. How will they know? How will they know that Jesus loves them and he died to save them? Carry the light, carry the light. Go and tell the children, they are precious in his sight. There is no more night, in the name of Jesus Christ, carry the light.
Jesus loves the little children.
Count them by the millions, blinded slaves to sin. Inside they are dying. How will they know that Jesus loves them and his heart is breaking? Carry the light,
carry the
light.
Go
and tell children, they are precious in his sight.
They are precious in his sight.
Carry the light,
carry the light.
Go and preach the gospel till there is no more night. In the name of Jesus Christ, carry the light. Go the world, go ye into all the world, carry the light,
carry the light.
Go
and tell the children, they are precious in the sight.
Preach the gospel till there is no more night. In the name of Jesus Christ, carry the light.
Carry the light.
Carry the
light.
Carry the light.
One of the things that God used to move us from a work that we were enjoying very much and that we were very comfortable with in Korea was the fact that in Singapore, we would have a very unique opportunity. Singapore is located right at the base and missions of what is called the 1040 window. The 1040 window is that area that reaches from 10 degrees longitude to 40 degrees longitude from North Africa all the way over to the Far East. That is called the least evangelized area of the world. That is the area where you find all the Islamic nations. That's the area where you find the Hindu nations and, of course, the Buddhist and Confucianist and the Taoist and all of that of the Far East. But one of the neat things about Singapore is that while in that 1040 window, most of those countries are either closed to missionary activity or they are greatly restrictive of missionary activity. In the land of Singapore, we have people from all of those countries there, and we have absolute freedom to try to win them to Christ. In fact, I would dare say that we probably have more freedom there than you do here. When's the last time you went to a shopping mall about this time of the year and you saw a huge banner hanging from the ceiling that says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given"? We see that in Singapore every Christmas. Every Christmas. We have absolute freedom there. And we thank God for that opportunity. And it's been our prayer that through the church there and through the school that God has allowed us to start, that we might be able to win people from these other nations, see them trained, and then see them go back to their home countries to do what physically we could not do simply because of politics. And in the past 16 years now, 17 almost, since we've been there, already we have begun to see just what I believe is the hem of the garment. God has allowed us to see some young men who came from the Philippines. They came to Singapore to work. While they were working, they attended our school, attended our church, and then resigned their positions, went back to the Philippines, and they started churches in the Philippine Islands. Two churches on the island of Irian Jaya, which is the Indonesian side of Papua New Guinea. Two churches and a school planted there by a young man that was sent out from our church in Singapore. Man has gone to Malaysia, which is an Islamic country, and has started a church there, saved and trained in our work there in Singapore. And we've been able to help him get a church started there. Just last March in our missions conference there in Singapore, an Indian family, they got saved in the UK, and he's a banker, and his bank transferred him to Singapore, and he found us on the internet. And he said, "I'm looking for a church that'll teach us the Bible." And I said, "Well, I think you found the place." And so he began to come. And last year during our mission conference, he said, "God has laid it on our heart. As soon as we finish our schooling here and we learn all that we can, we're going to resign our job with the bank. We're going back to our little town there in the north part of India. And we're going to start a church just like Heritage Baptist Church here in Singapore." And we're excited about what God is doing. We're excited about what God is going to do. Singapore is a very small place. It's a very difficult place. More millionaires per capita in Singapore than any other country in Southeast Asia. It is a very wealthy nation. They're on the cutting edge of everything. When I was in Bible college, they always told us that when we went to the mission field, we ought not to live in a little conclave of Americans, but we ought to try to get down and live on the level of the people to whom we minister. I would love to. Might as well be honest, right? I would love to. But we deal with the people who are very affluent, materialistic to the hilt. And their great question is, with all of this stuff, why should I change my God? Why should I change my religion? A very needy field, and we certainly would covet your prayers. If you have not yet received one of our prayer cards, certainly hope that you'll get one of those. And remember to pray for us as we'll be going back here after the first of the year to continue the work there that God has called us to.